This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, January 17th. So how's everybody doing this morning? Are we good, Sia?
We are always good, thankfully so.
I'm happy to hear it. Are we good, Ben?
Yes, all here, very good.
Are we good, Mavs?
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm great. I had a good night's sleep last night. And the night before. I think I've got back into a rhythm now.
Don't jinx it.
No. I'm not going to jinx it. But like last week, I really struggled to get into the rhythm of going to sleep early after the holidays. And waking up early. Yeah, your body can adjust. This is the important thing. I mean, you're a constantly evolving organism. And you're getting new inputs and outputs the whole time. And I suppose what we've got to learn is that we can make our bodies better or worse. You've got to start with the mind, and then you've just got to get the discipline going, and then you could achieve almost anything. And I mean, that sounds like the kind of stuff that...
Yes, sensei.
Yeah, but it sounds like bullshit, but it's true, really. You know that there isn't a single atom, not a single atom in your body that was there when you were conceived. Your atoms are constantly being replaced with other atoms, and your organs are patching up and fixing and regenerating in places. They always used to say that your nerve cells, if they died, were not replaceable. Neurologists were under the impression, and neuroscientists were under the impression, that when you lose a brain cell, it's gone. Particularly those pyramid cells in the cerebrum and in the outer cortex of the brain. They used to say that when those go, they're gone. And then they'd say, you know, if you bump your head really badly and all that stuff, there's just nothing you can do. Well, they've discovered that even those can regenerate. And even the brain can replace areas which have undergone some kind of trauma or difficulty or you know, blood loss or whatever it might be. So even the brain cells can be replaced, which means every single atom at some point is being recycled in and out. The original stuff you were made of might have been turned into stars, it might be turned into soil, it might have been turned into some other animal.
No wonder you battle to sleep at times if this crap is in your head.
Isn't it interesting, though?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just hearing stoners everywhere lighting a joint saying, "Whew, what a relief. I'm still going to get new cells."
Wow, you kind of have to give your body a break every now and then. It needs to naturally regenerate. You have to create the perfect circumstances for regeneration and for cleaning out the crap.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, look, we drink, we smoke.
Well, the way I see it,
we've already got tons of things working against our bodies.
Sure, but I think, you know, if you can keep it clean for 5 days and you go a bit crazy for two, I don't think that that's necessarily completely unhealthy. It's certainly not optimal. But if you can, even one, if you could do 1 day of like partying and drinking and abusing your body a little bit, and the other six you can do good things and be disciplined, I think your body can handle that. You know, we said this yesterday. It's amazing we've even got to this point as humanity. Yeah. We're such frail, weak things, actually. You think about how babies are. You think about how people are when they're growing up, how much can go wrong. And how every generation before this one has had the toughest time just staying alive from morning till night. So, you know, give yourself a bit of a break. To have got to this stage where our biggest problem is like Tide Pods. Have you seen all this Tide Pod stuff going on the internet?
What?
A Tide Pod is like an automatic washing machine tablet. Tide is a manufacturer in the US of this stuff.
Okay.
There's this meme going on all over the internet of like crazy people eating Tide Pods.
Stop.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, and it's just gone.
Because they're crazy.
Because they're crazy, and it's ridiculous. Mm, and some people are actually doing it, and it's very dangerous. It can kill you. Imagine eating washing machine tablets, automatic washing machine tablets.
I don't understand. I mean, usually when people become stupid, they're doing it for a purpose of some sort. Is there a challenge, a Tide Pod challenge?
No, some people are stupid and they're stupid.
No, but I mean, you remember how people were setting themselves alight, for example.
Yeah.
It was part of a challenge of sorts. So what is the purpose here?
It's just started as some kind of a meme, and some people take it seriously and think that it's an actual thing that they need to partake in. And the ones who do are really, really dumb people who ordinarily would have been wiped out by some kind
goodness.
Of stupidity in the real world. But now there are warning labels and everything. So if you look up Tide Pods, there actually is a challenge, Mubs. More than 40 US teens have poisoned themselves as liquid detergent Tide eating challenge takes place.
There you go.
Jesus.
There you
Let's
go.
Just call it what it is.
So, it's actually... sorry. A bit of a sneezing attack. Mm. So early in the morning. So the Tide Pod Challenge is a social media phenomenon that inspired countless memes and tweets about snacking on the colorful detergent capsules. And reportedly, teenagers snacking. Are eating them for bragging rights.
Well, okay then, brag
there's,
along.
There's even a group called Human People United Against Eating Laundry Pods.
Let's see what sort of bragging rights you have when you're in a coma.
39 reports of teenagers intentionally misusing laundry pods came in during the first 15 days of 2018 alone. Just leave these people.
Yeah, always leave the dumb.
Them.
Leave the dumb and then life will happen to them.
The products may also pose a risk to elderly adults who have Alzheimer's or dementia. Last year, 167 incidents involving adults over 60 were reported. Tide Pods.
How bored must
Don't you like
you
that?
Be
oh, that's
to think
great.
About this?
And they've even got a warning on the stuff that says, like, keep away from children. It's so great. Tide Pods.
Even dumb and lazy dogs don't even eat this kind of stuff.
Right. Animals know not to eat this, so you've got to imagine how dumb the humans are who think it's a great idea. Anyway, another big story that everybody will be talking about, no doubt, today. We had run-in yesterday morning, and then the entire cryptocurrency market went to shit. It went to absolute shit. Losses of 30%, 40%.
Cryptocurrency
out
of nowhere.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's a very, very difficult thing to ride this and be sensible and be calm when you see your money going down the toilet. And I suppose this is what Anthea was warning about and all those other people, that there are corrections. Mm. Might not be a bubble, like Run says it's not a bubble. But it certainly is. I mean, yesterday I just watched, and I don't own a lot of crypto at the moment. I sold quite a lot of it in December.
Mm.
But man, there's a little bit that I have got, and I'm looking at it going, ooh.
This has become a more of a little bit.
Yeah. It hurts. It hurts so bad. So, I mean, you could have been really smart about this and either have sold and then bought now while it's cheap. I mean, what's Ethereum going at now?
Well, it was up to what, like 15,000 US dollars?
Not 15,000.
Sorry.
100. It was about 1,200, wasn't it? Where
Sorry,
is it? No.
It was like 15,000 rand.
Yeah.
That's why I was looking at it. Up to 16, and now it's down to just over 12.
So it's come down a lot.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway. All right, well, we'll look at those later on. We'll get into a whole lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of ridiculousness on the internet. What was it I saw yesterday? There's so much stupidity on the internet. Like, there really is. And I don't know how...
What how did, we make it?
Well, how did these people get their kicks 10 years ago? These people who are doing all the stupid stuff on the internet.
They still had Pokemon and...
Do you remember?
All those stupid things. Well, I'm not saying Pokemon is stupid. I don't want the whole Pokemon gang after me.
No,
but
I personally
thought. Yeah.
Stupid.
No, they were. And all the, what do they call those little discs? And you could collect them and then you play the game and you used to trade those cards and,
Dragon Balls.
All of those things.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Well, here's Donald Trump. He says, I, as president, want people coming into our country who are going to help us become strong and great again. Make America great again. people coming in through a system based on merit. No more lotteries. America first. Because you know they had that green card lottery. He wants to end that. So there's another news story that you didn't know was going on. But there was a very funny thing that someone sent me yesterday, which I got to play for you. Mm-hmm. This is Donald Trump and Namibia again. Someone in Namibia is very sharp, because listen to this.
Good morning, Trump America. If ever you would want to leave your so beautiful and perfect country and come to a real shithole country in Africa, we would like to invite you to come to shithole Namibia. One of the best shithole countries out there. No, really. We actually have a beautiful underground lake that even looks just like a shithole. Lake Oshikoto. Actually, Namibia is such a shithole country that we converted about 42% of it into various conservation areas where wild shithole animals can roam freely. Not only is our country a shithole place, even our elephants are highly qualified to dump large amounts of shit everywhere in our wide open shithole country. Our desert is such a shithole of a place, believe me, that there hasn't been any proper rain in the last couple of million years, which makes it the oldest shithole desert in the world. But thanks to you not caring about global warming, this could soon end. And we could get lots of rain while the rest of the shithole countries out there burn or freeze off completely. It's really tough out here, but shithole Namibia has over 300 days of sunshine. And our lodges are situated in such a way that one has the perfect view over this beautiful shithole, even while taking a shit. So you're more than welcome to visit Africa's number one shithole country, known to your president as
Namibia.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Very good.
I love that. And the guy who does that voice is like spot on, right?
Mm. Who is that guy? Jesus, is it always good. Is it always one guy that they go to?
I don't know, but this guy who does this, I think it's that dude who, remember we played those debates between him and Bernie? I think it's the guy who does those, because I haven't heard anyone who's as good as that. He is the best.
But wasn't there a time when there was a whole bunch of like funny country kind of videos, the same thing when Trump, like, everyone was like being the second America and all the countries became together.
Yes, I think I remember what you're talking about.
I've completely lost what they were called, but
I think there was a Dutch version as
there
well.
There was a Dutch version, Norwegian version. Everyone made a version. I'm sure it was the same guy again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's him.
Yeah.
I think it's him. By the way, there's something so funny. There's a coronation thing, you know, with all this royal stuff with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. It's the anniversary of, I suppose, the Queen was crowned in 1953, so there must be some kind of milestone. Anyway, they've produced this documentary, and this guy, Alistair Bruce, gets to do something no one has ever done before. He sort of, you're not allowed to interview the Queen. She's never going to do a one-on-one. She's never done that with anyone. Ooh. You either set the camera up and you ask her questions, she'll give you answers and you put them in as like little bits and pieces, or she'll just make a speech. But she never sits and lets you interview her. So in this occasion, the first time ever, she sat there and let this guy ask her things about the coronation.
This is real.
Yeah, and she talks about the carriage. You've got to hear how she talks about this, how the carriage feels, how comfortable it is, the one that she rode to the coronation in. Oh. And she talks about her crown and how hard it is to put it in your head and all this kind of stuff. Oh, just so that, you know, so all the things difficult. That we will never experience. But listen to this, all right?
The Queen set out for Westminster Abbey in the gold state coach. It weighs nearly 4 tons.
So listen, she comes on straight away and comments on how it feels.
Horrible. Wow. It's not meant for travelling in at all. I mean, it's just not, it's only sprung on leather.
So it rocks around a lot.
It's not very comfortable.
Were you in it for a long time?
Probably halfway around London.
Really?
We must have gone about 4 or 5 miles. We can only go at a walking pace.
Yeah.
The horses couldn't possibly go any faster.
Right.
It's so heavy.
Really?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But you look really high up there, so I presume the view...
But it is very high. I mean, look at the size of the man.
Yeah.
She doesn't really like doing interviews at all. She doesn't like talking about stuff. You got to hear how she responds, too, when she talks about the crown.
The most important items used in the coronation are the monarch's two crowns. If the Queen has only worn St. Edward's gold crown once, she is much more familiar with this, the diamond-encrusted Imperial State Crown. She wore it at the end of her coronation and for most state openings of Parliament since.
So Sia would love to have this on his head all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just covered in diamonds, and it's got rubies and emeralds and every kind of precious stone you can imagine.
Even as uncomfortable as a carriage is, yeah. I really don't mind it.
So listen, she talks about wearing the crown, right?
You see, it's much smaller, isn't it?
I
mean, it was the same height. You know, it would have been up to about there when my father wore it.
I mean, it was huge then.
Yes, very unwieldy.
It's difficult to always remember that diamonds are stones, so they're very heavy.
Yes. Fortunately, my father and I have about the same sort of shaped head. Mm. But once you put it on, it stays. I mean, it just remains itself.
You have to keep your head very still.
Yes. And you can't look down to read the speech. You have to take the speech up. Wow. Because if you did, your neck would break. It would fall off.
Sure.
So there are some disadvantages to crowns, but otherwise, they're quite important things.
How do you like that, huh?
Sure.
If she looks down while she's reading the speech, it could snap her neck, it's so heavy.
So there are first world problems.
And then there are monarchy problems.
There we go.
Yeah, these are the things that bother the Queen on a daily basis, you know?
This is on another level. Oh, shame, Lizzie. How horrible your life is.
I mean, she's not sitting there complaining, but they're asking her about this coronation, and she said she didn't really. It's like a 3-hour-long ceremony. She has to put on all these robes. She would rather be, obviously, riding a horse in Windsor Great Park or something, so she didn't find it all that exciting. Now, most of us, if you had a coronation, Mabali, it would be the most exciting day of your life.
No.
I mean, come on. No. You get a crown on your head, all these people cheering for you.
You've got to get dressed up.
Yeah, you see, so you're like the Queen. You would also not enjoy it.
Yeah. Dressed up, makeup, smile, too many people, be nice to them.
Every day.
Feed them, get them drunk. Nope.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the more I watched that Netflix show, The Crown, the more I realized that Philip actually did have the best life of all males.
I've always said so.
Because, you know, people will say, but it was Hugh Hefner. No, I think it was Philip.
Yeah.
I really do think it was Philip. Like, there's certain scenes in that show where Lizzie's having a terrible time, having
she's
to make
busy.
A big decision or whatever. All Philip has to do is find out where he's drinking his next gin and tonic. Like, literally.
And sometimes he would go away for, like, weeks at a time. She wouldn't see him. He'd just be out having fun with the boys.
Of course.
It's got to be good to be him. Man, I'm just looking at that royal family now and going, which one can I marry?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? I mean, Meghan Markle, she's never going to have to work again. This is great. And they're going to call her Your Highness, Your Royal Highness, for the rest of her life.
And she's already kind of dealt with paparazzi before. So this is like she just landed a role of a lifetime.
Yes.
Plus, it's kind of like her
beautiful.
Life. You know, the show's not going to get cancelled.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's going to keep going.
She's just had to delete her social media last week, which really, in the greater scheme of things,
but what a pleasure.
Yeah.
A delight. But what a pleasure for a celebrity to have to delete your social media.
Yes.
Like,
I would take anybody who wants to pay me to shut down my social media, I'll be happy to take the money.
Especially if you're hurt. Can you imagine how much hate she's been receiving since she got engaged to that?
I mean, who's full of hate? Because I know.
It's all those girls called Charlotte, Rom Tom, Kakom Kingscum, Randolph, Hill, Tunkent, Bow Legger, Barrow. Those women who were meant to marry Harry, they're angry as fuck, those chicks.
Also, there were
Can you imagine? Like, this American.
Yes.
What an awful thing to have an American come into the family.
There were a lot of angry Brits in a lot of comment sections who were just disappointed that it's Meghan Markle. Yeah, they were like...
All those women off breeding who have been given reluctant hand jobs the last 10 years, hoping they would somehow get an inside track to Harry.
Oh, no.
Gone.
And also, Meghan realistically will never be the Queen.
No, of course not, unless there's like a...
because it's William no, first, then we'll go well, down to William's kids.
Yeah. It would soon be a corgi.
It's unlikely,
yeah.
But yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be fun? I mean, Camilla's going to be the queen. Everybody's forgotten about that. She's the next queen. You know, everybody's forgotten Camilla. Oh, you remember how people hated her when Charles decided to marry her after all those years? They called her horrible things. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's kind of chilled about it. You see, humans are so dumb, and the royal family know this. If you just hang around long enough, you win them over.
It's like test cricket, basically.
Show them your shiny crown, and they go, ooh, look at that.
Did the queen attend Camilla and Charles's wedding?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, then.
Not the ceremony. Remember, because they just got married in a registry office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down pub.
Yeah, and then down at pub, because Camilla needed to get back to Teff and Lucerne afterwards. But they had a little family reception in Windsor Castle, which
she
attended.
There was flowers all over the horse box that week.
Well, because everyone is saying that the Queen won't attend Meghan's wedding because she's been divorced.
Yeah, I mean, at the state of the game, she couldn't be bothered.
No, she's like, I'm out of here. She's what, 91, 92?
Yeah, but complaining about diamonds on her head and breaking 90, her neck.
Listen, if you're 91 and you have to carry around that big thing in your head, you're like, I've had enough now. It's been a long time.
Oh, that would be an amazing way to die, though.
What, with a crown on your head and you snap your neck?
Yes! Oh.
can you imagine being the queen and you approach a staircase with Charles and Camilla? You must think, they are going to push me down pretty soon. One of these days.
Yeah.
Because they must be just sitting there watching that Netflix show going, oh, when is this woman going to snuff it?
Mm-hmm. Mummy had an accident.
Mummy's been around such a long time. I think she would give us a chance. Yeah. Didn't you? I've been talking to plants, for fuck's sake. Trying to find something to say to them because I've run out of things to talk about with everyone. They always say, when will you be king? And I say to them, I have no idea. Very frustrating.
Oh, another bit of news for you. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump did his medical examination yesterday. You know,
it was amazing.
It was.
Well,
the president has to have a I think it's an annual or even a biannual medical examination, and they check him out for everything and his health and his, you know, general kind of body, you know, worthiness to occupy the office of president. And of course, you know, Crooked Hillary was so ill even during her campaign that she was falling down all over the place.
She had like TB for a week.
And Donald said at that point, I may be very old, I may be one of the older people who's run for office, but I am very healthy. Oh. Very, very healthy, tremendously healthy. Believe me, I'm the most healthy president. And clearly he wasn't lying. Because his medical team reported to, because of course the media, they wanted to hear that he had cancer or something was wrong. And then, of course they did. They're losing their minds now, like, oh shit, this guy is healthy. Like he said. And he's like, I told you, if you just listen to me instead of publishing your fake news. So he's not only very, very full of himself. He's not only very, very...
I'm really rich.
Very rich. Yes, very rich. He's also extremely healthy. Healthy as a horse. Healthy as Camilla. There we go. All right, let's get into some news headlines, shall we? Let's see what the important stories of the day are with me and Mabale. What do we got?
Oh, you've got breaking news?
No, I thought you did.
Okay. Listen, a couple of days ago, Twitter completely lost their minds when it was announced by Bongani Fassie that there's going to be a movie about Brenda Fassie.
Oh.
Excitement all around. People started suggesting ideas of actresses who should play her. This is all thanks to a UK production company, Showbizbee, that has acquired the rights to the film. But then yesterday, it all went to shit after a report by Times Live that Chico Twala is apparently in some other kind of feud with Bongani Fassie. The late pop singer Brenda Fassie's upcoming biopic is at the center of what has now become a controversy between her producer and the Sun. According to this Times Live report, Chico Twala is apparently standing in the way of the upcoming film about the singer. Oh. And it all has to do with his claim that he has all the rights to Brenda Fassie's music legacy. So what then unfolded was a horrible Twitter spat between Bongani Fassie and Chico Twala. But the UK production company say that they are going to continue with putting together the film. despite Twala's threats of a lawsuit, apparently. So, very quickly, things have become very ugly.
But, I mean, Chico Twala did more for Brenda's career than Bongani did. And if he weren't Bongani Fassi, we would never have heard from him again.
Yes, but, you know, then the argument on the other side is, yes, but this is Bongani, this is Brenda's son. So what really is the problem? Can't you just let her son do this thing for the people to see?
Because money's involved.
Well, yes, of course. When money talks, everything else goes quiet.
You know, I don't know. I love the whole story of Brenda Fassi and what she meant and how many people's lives she touched. And, you know, she was this superstar at a time when South Africa didn't really have superstars. And she lived this very unique life. It was a crazy life. It was a wild life. She was totally out of control. I met her 2 or 3 times, and I thought she was completely unstable. But what a star. In the real sense that she was a show woman. She was there the whole time to put on a show. And she knew that. And she was like that from when she was a young girl already. You know, what an incredible human being.
I think most people just want to see a movie, and they don't really care about Chico Twala fighting with Bongani. They're just like, please just like put the movie together.
I want to see the movie. That's why I'm saying you two get your shit together, and then we can watch this movie.
Do you want to see the movie for the memories of the music, or do you want to see the movie for the story behind the headline?
I want to see it for the music. I want to see it for...
That's where Chico has a hold, then.
Okay, then that's fine. I want to see it for the music. I want to see it for the scandal.
Yeah.
For all the stuff we didn't apparently know about here. I want to see it for all of it. I mean, that's what movies do.
Well, whatever the reason, because I think you can get her music right now. You can listen to her songs now. That gives you some of the story. But you want to know what her life was like. As as someone biographically breaks it down and makes it into a really good feature film, I'd like to see that. I think it might be interesting, especially for a lot of younger South Africans who didn't know who Brenda Fassi was. Remember, most people under the age of 35 wouldn't know or care. They've heard the name, but they don't know a damn thing about her. They maybe know I'm Your Weekend Special or, you know, one of those songs. And if they heard the details of her life, they might even be more interested in the rest of South Africa's history. I don't know a lot of people who care about that stuff. They talk about it like, they'll talk about 1994 was such a big deal, but you're like, okay, so tell me about 94. They're like,
it was historic.
There was an election. You're like, yeah, what else? Nelson Mandela won the election. Yeah, and what else? They don't know a damn thing. And then they'll get all uppity, like, apartheid was terrible. And you'll be like, yeah, but can you tell me some of the things that happened, what your parents might have gone through? No. You're like, so you're really uptight about this and you're upset about it, but you can't tell me why. Maybe you should look into it a little bit. Then you can have a righteous reason to be pissed off. But, you know, people don't care about history, and I'm not going to go down that track. Whoopi Goldberg on The View has said that, I don't know if you heard this story, but Aziz Ansari, he's a well-known comedian and actor in Hollywood. This guy, apparently he took some girl home. She had been, she'd met him at some awards show or something, and then he'd taken her number, and they'd arranged a date. They went out for dinner, then he took her back to his place. He started performing oral sex on her. She seemed very keen. Then he wanted her to have sex with him, and she said she wasn't keen, and then she left in a huff, and she kind of walked out, and she was crying, and it was all a disaster. Now they're saying, well, he's also a sex offender. And Whoopi Goldberg on The View has come out and said, no, she doesn't buy this accuser's nonverbal cues defense. She said that this thing's gone too far, that there are now women on this Me Too campaign who are making no sense anymore, because they've taken it to a point where everything any man does is just wrong, and that they somehow are incapable of agency and can't defend themselves. And women have been saying no to men for sex for years. The fact that he didn't push it past the no means she wasn't sexually harassed. Most men, according to Whoopi, are going to take it as far as they can, because that's what they want. And if the woman doesn't want to do it, she's got to slap him and get out of the room. And that's exactly what happened here. She said, well, you can't also accuse this guy of being a rapist, But his name's been dragged through the mud. It's all gone to a pile of shit, and his career is probably over. And she's an anonymous person who is really more after turning Aziz Ansari into a villain than after her own, you know, ability to stand up for herself and other women. That's certainly what Whoopi says in a snapshot.
Jeez, you know, it's always so difficult adding commentary to he said, she said stories. Because obviously she'll have one version of a story, he'll have another version.
Well, he hasn't said anything. So
no, he has. He released a statement the other day, didn't he?
I don't think so.
I saw a headline saying that he commented on, or he released a statement. Let me try and find it. Let's see.
All right. Anyway, that's one of the stories in the news. So Whoopi Goldberg is saying that this accuser has got to come up with a better defense than there are nonverbal cues. There actually has to be something that happens. You know, again, we've got to a point in South Africa where and in the world where words are now equated with violence, which is ridiculous. Because whatever word I use, you can just as easily choose to ignore, even if it's horribly offensive. But some people seem to think that this is a valid defense, that if I use a nasty word, that entitles you to go and trash a store or to attack me physically or to destroy my property. It's ridiculous. And sooner or later, we're going to have to reach a point where people go back to that old sticks and stones may break my bones idea. A lot of people still talking about shithole countries. The only one who isn't is Donald Trump. He says this is a mountain being made out of a molehill. He said it was a private meeting between him and some senators. He didn't mention any countries by name. And he says he certainly is not going to be pulled into this bullshit of being called a racist. The DA paid Tony Leon 500,000 rand to tell Cape Tonians it isn't raining. That's according to Kosatu. While the ANC stole outside the legal framework, the DA thieves in City of Cape Town stole within the framework, says the Congress of South African Trade Unions on Tuesday. They said that the DA-run City of Cape Town is paying a public relations firm, Resolve Communications, headed by former leader Tony Leon and Communications Director Nick Cleland, 658,000 rand to improve the city's drought crisis communication. So they say this is stealing. Keeping Cape Townians informed about what's going on and what plans are being made to bring solutions to the water crisis, they say this is outright stealing. It seems like they're trying to draw a parallel between that and the Guptas stealing so that the ANC looks less guilty.
Listen, the DA have got far bigger problems because now Dirk Smit, who is one of the council speakers and their caucus rep, Sean August, they are now potentially going to be facing disciplinary charges in this whole Patricia de Lille situation.
Mm-hmm.
They are not being asked to step down just yet from their posts. But the federal executive discussed yesterday whether action should be taken against them as well after they were asked last month to provide reasons why they should not resign as part of an internal party investigation which has been conducted by John Steenhuisen. And, you know, meanwhile, while all of this is happening, their water crisis keeps getting worse.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, they moved up their day zero.
Yes.
To the 21st of April, yes. Which means that there are less than 100 days of assured water availability in Cape Town if the current rate of rain and consumption doesn't change.
Really?
That's according to reports, yes. Less than 100 days. And then after that, they have officially reached day zero.
Tick-tock. It sounds hectic. I mean, I don't know what the solution to this crisis is. Do you have any answers? Ben said desalination a long time ago. And it seems finally they're digging into the aquifer. They're like boring. They're making boreholes.
Remember they had those last week. Like, yay, they've arrived.
Yeah. I don't know that they're doing any of this in time. I think that they've run out of time. I think they're in some shit. All right, but those are the things you need to know this morning. Let's turn our attention now to Ben and find out what's going on in the world of sport. He's got plenty of that for us. Ben,
take it away.
Right, so there's lots of cricket on the go right now, but let's first talk about Pyeongchang. 22 days until the start of the Winter Olympics. Ticket sales aren't going so well. So if you would like to go to South Korea, and you've always wanted to make a moment to say, oh, if only I had time and the right moment to go to South Korea, the time is now, because they are quite clever, these people, and they have just launched a 42-day shopping festival.
Oh, nice.
Which includes 52,000 stores and 700 companies coming together to flog their wares and to lure you over there to watch the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Well, so, you've got to admire this. This is what South Korea in the 80s, they hosted the first Olympics there.
Seoul. Yeah.
And it was a major thing. It was South Korea's re-entry into the world. And they handled it beautifully. It went down very, very well.
Yeah, well, it's a very progressive country. It's obviously a very modern country, first world country. As of December, only 61% of the tickets were sold, though. So people are saying, well, you know, there's the fears that there's the missiles coming from North Korea, and then China doesn't like South Korea for some reason. It's got to do with America. Mm-hmm. But they are saying, no, there's nothing to fear. Plus, you can buy really cheap stuff. And if you are a tourist, then you can get up to 60% off various flights that are going there. So really, if you ever want to go watch the Winter Olympics, there is not a better time than going to Pyeongchang.
Good.
So there we go. That's something you might not have known this morning.
And of course, this bristles North Korea. They don't like the idea of South Korea hosting these. So they are not thrilled. But I think things are slightly different to what they were in the 1980s, where North Korea actually sent two terrorist spies to down a plane. That was a major crisis just before the Olympics that year.
Well, North Korea, apparently they're totally supporting this. No confirmation if they're going there to shop, but they are going there to Winter Olympic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going
they're sending
to.
A team
they're
and
sending a team and
they want to win.
Kim Jong-un, he's okay with it and everyone's happy. So it just really is. It's the time to be there. 22 days until it starts. How bloody exciting. In cricket news, Virat Kohli has been fined some of his match fee for being a doers.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
ICC said that he was acting like a doers on day three, and therefore, well, there was a bit of rain, and prior to the rain, the Indians felt that they were getting good swing with their balls, until the rain came down, and the outfield was then wet. So the ball was getting wet, and with that went away the swing. So Kohli was like, how dare we play in this? Do you know who I am?
Oh, right, he pulled that card.
You know, then he slammed the wet ball into the soft ground, and with that, everyone was like, oh, what a dick. And the ICC have banned him and given him a demerit point. That's what happens in
cricket. Is that what happens? So you get called
like a child,
a doers, and then you get a demerit point.
Yeah, that's pretty much the sequence.
They do at school.
Yeah. So Kohli, from being a doers to then being a mug with a bat, he only got 5. Lungi and Gidi got him trapped LBW. And, well, it looks very much like the Indians are about to go 2-0 down. So all take right. that, Virat Kohli. Although I love Kohli. I think he's great because he is such a doers. But he's like, he throws everything out there. And his team obviously lets him down in certain places. And then he lets himself down. But they finished yesterday 35-3. And they need another 252 runs today with 7 wickets in hand. But no, it's not going to happen. But yeah, good for Lungi Ngidi. 2-14 currently. And at the crease is Chitaswar Pujara and Partiv Patel. Partiv Patel, interesting fact, is even shorter than Temba Bavuma.
Really?
He's so short. Shortest guy.
He's a dwarf.
Very, very close to short. So if you can't afford Pyeongchang, then maybe Centurion today is a good place to go to get your sporting kicks.
Okay.
Get there early because they might roll over. I think Kohli might want to just go home or whatever.
Ben's always said that's a great place to watch cricket.
Yeah. And today there'll be absolutely no line for beers. You'll probably take your own beer.
Oh.
If you go to Centurion, I'm sure you already have one.
All right.
Alexis Sanchez, he's Chilean.
Yes.
And he might be Chilean next season because nobody seems to want him.
I see what you did there.
Man City were like, nah, Arsenal will take me right now, I guess. But then Man United are possibly keen on the Chilean because they're saying, well, he could fit the bill. And the only thing is that Henrik Mkhitaryan, who's Kardashistani, he might actually be the trading pawn in this whole deal. So if he doesn't want to go to Arsenal, then Man United might not want to buy Sanchez because they kind of have a Mkhitaryan. He was okay in the Europa League, but now he's plateaued. So there could be a deal there between Jose and the king of losing, Arsene Wenger. So interesting how they just get to trade these adult men. Like in the days of the gladiators at the docks. It's like Jose and Arsene are going, I'll have that one. I'll have that one. He looks big and strong. I'll have that one. He looks small, temperamental, and really terrible in front of goal. I'll have that one. That's what Arsene says. And that's how they trade these people. So I saw a really great tweet the other day saying it's outrageous that Arsenal can sell Sanchez to a direct rival and someone says, he's not going to Burnley, he's going to Man United. I'm sure Gord will enjoy that one.
Hey, Gord Laws is here.
Hey, guys. How's it even going?
Yeah, I saw you talking smack about Premier League soccer.
Mm. Yeah. I wasn't talking smack about Premier League soccer. I just said that...
Man, shitty.
Despite... Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. I thought you meant the Barcelona trip. I was at the Nou Camp a week ago.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was saying it was a great experience, but just very sedate compared to a Premier League football game.
Yeah.
And very civilized, lovely time. You're watching the best team in the world. You know, one of, if not the biggest teams in the world. And it's a Sunday, and it's a league match, and their stadium's about 65-70% full.
Yo.
And except for one tiny little corner of what's no more than 100 people in the one corner singing songs and getting festive, everybody else sits and kind of goes, bueno, bueno, and claps when an amazing goal gets...
So they're very chilled.
Yeah, it's like it's almost a non-event. It's a lovely outing. You go, you pop in, you have a hot dog, you come back. It's not like a British football match, which is like gathering for some sort of tribal warfare when everyone except City's stadium is full no matter who's playing. Yeah, Ben?
It's just in Spain, you're healthy and your blood level's the right way, your cholesterol's okay. In England, they are about to die, or they're from a history of domestic violence. That's how they act the way they do.
It wasn't really a complaint so much as an observation. A very different, very, very different atmosphere.
Otherwise, for football, it's pretty boring stuff. There were some FA Cup kick-arounds last night where the really crappy teams were beaten by the really good teams. And, well, tonight, SuperSport United are taking on Maritzburg United. SuperSport United, not so good. Eric Tinkler shouting at the players all the time. And that's why they're near the bottom. And finally, in tennis, also, bugger all to report there. Although Caroline Wozniacki, I said, I'm surprised she's the second seed because this woman chokes it worse than the Proteas. She's currently being hammered by some Croatian woman. Yeah, that's pretty much your Australian Open headlines. Federer won his first game. Nadal probably going to win. Yeah.
All right.
But all I got, I mean, we can go to Buddy Malloy for more on the tennis, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
Shit. Oh. I mean, without Serena, I haven't even bothered to watch.
No one's all that excited.
Any of it.
All right, well, I got to ask you this, Ben, because you remember that just before the holidays, Meowsers was not very well.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And Ben actually had to leave the show to rush her to hospital.
Yeah, she was frothing at the mouth a bit.
She was not in a good way. And we're going to be talking about these pet-related things a little bit more in the next little while, because we're talking about pet insurance. Now, have you got pet insurance for Meowsers?
I don't know. I just cough it up like a furball.
I need to get for mine as well.
Well, yeah. With one plan pet insurance, you can claim for a vet visit before you even see the vet. Now, how's that? You don't have to put money out of your own pocket.
Mm.
If you're insured, you can insure the health of your pets from as little as 125 Rand a month. And I guarantee you, anyone who has a pet and has a phone spends way more on their phone every other day. SMS PET to 31644 now, and one plan will call you back with all the info you need, and they'll tell you exactly what it is that you get for your insurance. SMS PET to 31644. That's PET to 31644, and then you can get Meowsers insured. I'm going to do this for Carl.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I get more traumatized to the vet than Meowsers does. I mean, thermometers aside, when I get given that invoice at the end,
and an unexpected pet issue can seriously hurt you financially. I mean, it's not like veterinarians charge significantly less than human doctors do.
No.
If they've got to do blood tests and x-rays and scans, they use the same machines.
And pets don't go and they're going, oh, I've got a bit of a dicky tummy. They're going, wow. So they've got to test everything.
Yeah.
So therefore, you get paid for everything.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So listen, we're also doing a pet parade competition, which we're launching at the end of this week, which is going to be very exciting. And we'll talk to the guys from One Plan Pet Insurance too to find out how it all works. But if you have a pet and you think you look like your pet, or you're proud of your pet and you want to show them off.
A fat one's going to take this easily.
For sure.
You guys have to meet Fat One. He's the best. Or Fatoni, if I say his name. If I say his name traditionally.
All right, so Gord's going to...
Catapotamus.
Gord's going to put a picture of him and Fat One up.
Yes.
And I'll obviously have a picture with me with Carl, and then Ben will have him and Meowsers, and Sia's got a pet picture, and Casper De Vries has got pet pictures, and Shemaine Harris from Beyond Ears and Eyes has a pet picture that she wants to show off.
What pet picture does Sia have?
Can we
my little Grovin in Durban?
Your little what?
Grovin.
He's my As dog. In Josh Groban?
Robin. Well, okay. Do you want to know the story? Fine. Yes. Okay.
Wow, my buddy is so into this.
Thank
right
you,
now.
You do
just
care.
Rolled her eyes. She just rolled it in her own mouth.
As a little puppy, when we got him, he used to like weep a lot, just like makes the little tiny like weepy sounds. And so one of my favorite songs is a cover that Josh Groban does. It's by, and the song's called Weeping. And so we called him Groban after Josh Groban. It's like,
I just died of cute.
Thank you.
I wish I had pet insurance because I'm going to need defibrillators because I've died
actually
of cute.
I actually miss Groban.
All right. So
are we submitting pictures or is it multimedia content? Because I'm going to make videos of Fat One and Blackie Chan and me.
You want to win.
You're going to win this. Yeah. What are you winning?
I don't know.
Don't
we haven't
care.
Decided
Pride.
Yet. We haven't decided. But I don't know if we'll win or if someone who votes for us will win.
Okay, let's make a competition on the side.
I just want
let's have a vote. Who's got
by
the
way, for those people who want to know what the cryptocurrency market looks like this morning, it looks like a shithole.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah. If you are interested in the price of Bitcoin at the moment, it is currently languishing somewhere around 11,298 from an all-time high in December of almost 20,000.
It's like the Haiti of finances.
It's just about halved. Ethereum is at 1,000. It's just gone up a little bit from the 900s, so we can be grateful for that. But it's around $1,009 per Ether. Ripple is going at 1.165. And it's actually recovering probably a little bit faster than the others, even though that had a major drop yesterday too. Bitcoin Cash, if you care about that, $1,751 for each one of those. And Monero, since we speak about it so often, $312.
So everything's down.
Everything's down.
A lot.
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are the CrossFit international rankings and what's new in veganism?
I don't know about those.
Okay.
But those are obviously things that you will talk about when you see your hipster friends today at lunch. All right. So we got lots to get into, but let's go to Said by Sia this morning, which is always helpful and always useful and helps put us in the right mood for the day. I know Gord loves it. So what do you got for us, Sia?
Oh, yeah. Well, I always preach about being the doing your best wherever you can, however you can for other people. And one South African is taking that to a whole other level. His name is Andrew Patterson, and he's an avid hiker and entrepreneur as well. And listen to this. He has put together an innovative crowdfunding campaign in hopes to transform 1 million South African lives in 365 days by doing 365 climbs. Andrew has pledged to hike up Table Mountain every day in 2018 to raise 1 million rands on the donation-based crowdfunding platform Backer Buddy.
All right, but let me ask you something. If he's
crazy.
If he's got time to hike up Table Mountain every day this year, what is he doing for a living?
I wonder. As an entrepreneur, he has this freedom and flexibility.
He's a Cape Townian, right?
Yeah.
I know.
It's all well. Yeah, he's probably a flautist.
He is really taking this to another level. Like,
he's probably got a percussion band or something.
I think his whole tactic is to be as extreme as possible to get people to pledge money for this. Would I do it?
Gord was about to say, though, that you get some days in Cape Town.
Yeah, it's well and good to make a pledge like this when it's the middle of balmy summer. You got certain days in Cape Town where I think they're like the military forbids you from climbing Table Mountain because you definitely die.
I don't know. I think it's admirable how you will make it possible.
You see
exactly
caravans blowing up the mountain.
I have no cooking clue. Anyway.
Search and rescue dogs going for the couch.
Yeah. Andrew says that the money he raises will go to the three charities that are close to his heart, which are Habitat for Humanity, One Heart for Kids, and the Sunflower Fund. He wants 2018 to be bigger than himself and more about others. He was inspired by the idea at the end of 2017 while he was actually staring up the mountain. Once again, a lot of free time, Andrew.
But that's
anyway.
What Cantonians do. They stare at the mountain.
But he then started training. He hiked the mountain at least three times a week because the strain this task will have on his body will be immense.
Yeah,
and for his final training challenge, he conquered 9 peaks of the mountain in a row, completing a hike up Lion's Head and Table Mountain on the same day. Geez. He started his challenge, which he dubs the 365 Ubuntu Climbs, at 4:30 in the morning on the 1st of Jan 2018. He says his mantra for 2018 is one step at a time. So he's already completed 15 climbs, and just so far he's managed to raise over 33,000 rands towards a final goal of 1 million rands. So hey, Andrew, it's not exactly what we do, but kudos on you, and we hope, you know, we wish you nothing but the best. 1 million rand by the end of 2018. Go for it.
How long does the Table Mountain mission actually take? Because I know the Signal Hill walk is not nearly as... Like, do you actually have to climb
everyone,
it? Can you
path please, walk? I've seen people in wheelchairs do that Signal Hill thing. That's no big deal.
So, I mean, climbing actual Table Mountain... Also, there's climbing it, and there's walking it, and there's all kinds
of
cable carring it.
Yeah. I don't think it's that hard if this... I mean, I know just off the top of my head are like 25 people who've been to the top of Table Mountain.
But it's not like a brisk walk.
No, it's not a thing.
How long does it take?
Well, hopefully it doesn't take more than 1 hour and 15 minutes. Otherwise, this guy's going to have no time to do anything else this year.
Yeah, well, he woke up at 4:30 in the morning to do it. So,
I always like think about Cape Townians like... I don't mean to like knock this guy. I'm sure his initiatives were wonderful, and he's probably a wonderful dude or anything. Everything. It just made me think of my time there, and like, you get these people who are like mad arrogant because of what they do. They're like, yeah, no, I'm a slam poet, or like whatever,
what?
Like
a slam poet.
Oh, you don't know about slam poetry.
It's just the way you said it. I couldn't hear it.
No, I play viola. I'm a ukulele player in a folk in indie folk punk cabaret band.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Like, cool. Shame for you for being a media person.
I feel like you have a slam poem on your heart.
Neo-expressionist graffiti artist. And then you're like, oh shit, flautism. You're a flautist. That's amazing. A traditional bamboo flautist. How does that, does that pay well? Oh no, like I work at a coffee place to like fund, you know, the art. But or I'm like, so then it's your hobby.
Or I'm living off my parents' money, which so many are. I met a person once who told me they designed posters for a band. A band.
Well, now, I know at least one dude that actually successfully does that.
I don't know a lot of bands that can afford regular posters. Mm-hmm. But even if he's doing one a week, that's not a full-time job.
There's a guy called Merwe Marchant, and he...
what?
No, it's his name, Merwe, he's Afrikaans.
Okay.
Marchant?
Yeah, he designs... He's a very well-known graphic designer, and he made his name doing a lot of Fokof Polisikov and Coke Cartel, Jack Parrow, doing
this
their band posters and stuff.
No, don't legitimize this dude I'm talking about.
Because I'm saying if it's not Merwe, you're probably a Duis.
He's a Duis. He doesn't... It's not a well-known band.
Unless it's Merwe.
In fact, I've never heard of this band. Mm-mm. And it's his full-time job to make posters for this band? Bullshit. I call bullshit.
Yeah, flautists who've never been paid to play the flaut. I draw cartoons in my spare time and watch fucking Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. But I don't say it's my job. It's my goddamn hobby until someone pays me for it.
All right, we'll be back in a moment or two with some news. Plenty more.
This is CliffCentral.com.